So Luke and Matthew both tell this parable about a great feast. One has a slightly different ending than the other, but both of them, and the Gospel of Thomas also, if you ever want to look at that, see the Gospel of Thomas has a slightly different approach to this parable. But similar storyline. A wonderful party is planned. The invited guests are too busy to come. And so the host opens up the table to everyone to come. So that is our story, our parable. And we know, because we've been here before, that parables are not easy. We would love for parables to be simple. And every so often, we get what we want. But more often than not, we discover that these are deeply intricate puzzles. And they cannot be reduced to straightforward morals. This is not first grade arithmetic. This is mind-blowing calculus. In today's story, we want A plus B equals C. We say the host of the party is God or Jesus. Take your pick. The invited guests who change their RSVPs at the last minute are people who are too busy for God. The second tier guests, the forgotten, the lost, and the excluded, they are all those people for whom God is concerned. They are the people for whom we should care. Now, there are other well-established versions. The original guests, some scholars would say, are the Jewish people who do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And the second group of guests are the Gentiles who are welcomed in. But I'd say let's not throw our Jewish family under the bus, nor presume that we know what it means to be welcomed into God's kingdom. Let's be honest. We don't really see ourselves in this parable. We don't. We aren't the ones who are too busy. Look at us. We are here in church on a beautiful Sunday morning. Still, we don't want to be placed with the losers who were not invited for the first go-round. Pity. We don't want that. In our minds, we are merely viewers, observers, listening in on this parable. We're kind of above it, sort of beyond it, merely here to hope that the original audience understood what we already perceive. Everyone is welcome at God's table. If it were only that simple. God didn't invite us to be editors, bystanders, or critics, which makes my job very dangerous. God didn't invite us to stand outside the story, but to enter into it. So here we go, back to square one. God can't be the host of this party. Jesus can't be the host either. If the host were God or Jesus, the first round of invitations would have gone to societies lost, forgotten, and excluded. In addition to the poor, the parable mentions the crippled, blind, and lame. And these various impairments would have placed them in the excluded and lost category. Their physical challenges would most likely have caused them to be impoverished in this society. And they definitely would have been considered sinful because the community saw physical ailments as reflections of the consequences of underlying spiritual darkness. But there goes Jesus, passing out the invitations in the back alleys and on the street corners and at the local dive and at the mini mart and at the nursing home and at the Salvation Army shelter and at the domestic violence shelter and at North Harbor and at the park bench that serves as someone's bed. Can someone please stop him? Look, now he's headed toward the prison. For all these reasons, Jesus can't be the host in this parable. The host in this story invites his peers, his equals. He invites the people who will return the favor, because that's how it works. But when they don't show, after his servants have worked their fingers to the bone, he is furious. He is hurt. He is embarrassed. And I would hazard to say, He is lonely. Throwing a party is always a little bit frightening, isn't it? At the very least, it is anxiety-producing. Will everyone click? Will the conversation sparkle? Will they appreciate the trendy appetizers? Will the new person feel included? And the most stressful question of all, will anyone show up? And they don't. They don't come to a party to which they'd already said they would attend. They send their sincere regrets and their excellent excuses. Top-notch reasons in Jesus' day. Security, prestige, and family. Purchasing land was the wisest step to ensure economic security. Owning 5 pair of oxen, extremely rare and very prestigious. And getting married, family was everything in first century Palestine. Children ensured that your name would live on. But what happens next? I think this is the part we overlook. I think this is the story thread that we ignore. Yes, it is about missing out on breaking bread with God at the heavenly table. We can certainly say that about this parable. But there is something much more practical going on and much more urgent. Maybe it is about how God works through us in our brokenness. Maybe it is about how God always shows up for us and what happens when God arrives. The host, we are told, throws a temper tantrum. He explodes. All of those powerful emotions overflow in him. And without stopping to consider the implications, he sends his servants out to bring in people with whom he would have never broken bread. He might have dropped some coins in their baskets if they were begging on the city streets. He surely would have given his offering at the temple, an offering that would have been used to help the orphans and the widows. He might have even tried to help a crippled man find employment. But break bread with them at his table? Probably not. Until the day he was so hurt and angry that he reacted swiftly and the consequences were deep. It seems to me that his thinking ran like this: I'll show them. I'll show my so-called friends. I'll make them jealous. Except that when they heard about the revised guest list, they weren't jealous. Shocked? Sure. Confused? Definitely. Concerned? Oh, wow. He did what? He invited who? They said to one another as they sighed and shook their heads. Because they could see that their friend has a bigger problem now. Everyone knows where he lives. And everyone who isn't anyone in society's eyes will return to his door. And he will no longer be able to walk past them as they spend their days begging. It won't be enough to drop a few coins in their begging basket, because now he knows their names. Now he knows their stories. He will never be the same because he has seen what God's table looks like, and it isn't anything like he imagined. He will be labeled crazy, much like a certain Messiah we know. The neighbors will tell the story of the day he went over the edge, and they will say with sorrow in their voices, "If only one of us could have gone that day and stopped him." But what the host later realizes, or maybe his helpful spouse points out for him, is that God worked through his anger and pain. God used his anger and pain to carry him over to a better feast than the one he had planned. God carried him through his feelings of rejection and loneliness to a party that was filled with love and laughter. This host didn't set out to break down any barriers. He wasn't looking for rewards or glory. He was trying to spite his friends. And God laughed. God laughed out loud because God knew how this would play out. And God used that angry emotion and that choice that he made because God can take all of our spite, all of our resentment, all of our grief, all of our pride, all of every messy emotion that makes us human. And God can use it to expand a table. Because God, unlike the host of this party, has compassion, acts from compassion, pours out compassion. A compassion that will always carry us over to a bigger table, a brighter table, a messier table, a truer table than any we could set for ourselves. In spite of our spite, God's welcome will be wide. In spite of ourselves, God's welcome will be wide. And we will be both guest and host as we discover what it means to eat at Christ's table. Thanks be to God for setting a place for us. Thanks be to Jesus, who in humor and honesty reveals to us the ways of God. And thanks be to the Spirit, who in mystery and delight makes us one. Thanks be to God. Amen.